Blog Talk Radio.
Logical Soul Talk. My name is Michael Craig, and I'm your host for this weekly talk radio program that lets me interview some really interesting folks, the ones I consider to be the best, brightest, and probably the most creative people in the world. Now, during this 30-minute program, I'll focus mainly on some of the turning points in their lives, the people who influence them the most, and decisions they've made that brought them to the success, and also what they're working on these days. You see, as a chiropractor for many years, I discovered that most people, including myself, have an underlying pattern of what I call hidden decisions that we made as small children or picked up from our parents, teachers, or even our ancestors. And these subconscious decisions form our reality and affect our motivation and our destiny. Consequently, these hidden decisions can either propel us to greatness or lead us to self-sabotage and failure. And quite by accident, many years ago, I discovered I could access and change these hidden decisions to allow amazing results to happen in my own and other people's lives. And you can get more information on this discovery and process at www.logicalsoul.com. I also host a monthly meetup group here in the Atlanta area that you can check out on the same website. And I've got another site, passiontocashvideo.com, where you can see a free video on tactics how you can turn your passion into an abundance of cash or a steady income. Now, the guests on my show were selected primarily because I found their lives and their stories interesting. They may be rich, famous, talented, or simply great human beings. All of them, however, possess something I find rare in an individual, and that is a passion or determination for what they do. They've made some strong decisions early in their own lives that led them to their current successes or achievements, and my goal in interviewing them here is to probe a little bit and discover their pattern of life decisions. And this will allow you, as my listeners, to maybe pick up some special nuggets that you can add to your own motivation and nourish your own seeds of success. So listen to what they have to say. After about 10 or 15 minutes, I invite you to call in with your comments and questions. Our phone number is area code 347-843-4544. That's 347-843-4544. And follow the instructions to raise your hand so I can call on you. Today's guest, the one we have on the show today, is I have the honor and privilege of welcoming Terry Mahaney. Now, Terry is she's quite a person. She's got quite a background. She's a PhD. She was a college dean. She served for the governor of California. Did a lot of things for the state there. She was associate professor of business. She was a management trainer, and she owned her own business. And she's got quite an educational and honorary litany here, and I won't go into quite what that's all about. But her main claim to fame, I guess you would call it, would be that she created this program, which she calls Change Your Mind Super Sleep Method, which is internationally recognized and referenced in books on learning and change, and it allows you to essentially change your mind and change your habits and do a whole bunch of other things while you sleep. And without further ado, I'm going to bring Terry on here and let her explain a little bit about that, how that works. Terry, are you there?
I am, Michael.
And I want to welcome you on the show today. I was real fascinated when I was talking to you about some of the information. You seem to be a storehouse of knowledge on brainwave technology and research, and I wanted to pick your brain a little bit, excuse the metaphor, today about how some of that works, and I wanted to find out a little bit how, first of all, how did you get started in this? And it seems like you've got such a varied background, but primarily I guess you're focused on education and learning, and how did you get started on the sleep learning part of it?
That's one of the greatest stories, Michael. I was an associate professor of business, as you've mentioned, and in Alaska, and I had a cross-cultural population, and I had some non-performing students, and I started really working with accelerated learning or super learning or Suggestopedia, whatever name you want to call it, techniques to help them, and I was getting great results. And I decided to make an audio tape for myself on the things that were bothering me at the time, which was goal setting, time management and delegation. I was a single parent. Mm-hmm. I had two careers. I worked for the university, but I had my, as you've said, my management training on the side, and I just had too much to do and too little time. And I thought, well, I'll just make a tape for myself, and I'll listen for a few days and see what I can do with this. And each day that I put it on, I fell asleep. And after 3 days, I threw it away, and I won't tell you what I said. And I said, as busy as I am, and I just wasted my time with that. And 10 days later, I realized every single thing I had recorded on that tape had changed my life, and I had moved it. I had done it. The behavior had, not just the thought had changed, the behavior had taken place. I had written 20-year goals, 10-year goals, 5-year goals. I had an action plan. I'd hired a part-timer at the office, delegated projects. They were all caught up. Everything was done. Wow. And I thought, this is impossible. I never heard that thing. So, of course, laughingly, I told a few women friends, and they laughed and said, gee, do you think it helped me sell insurance? And I said, oh, gosh, no, I don't think it'll help anybody. But let's try. And I started playing, and pretty soon I'd worked with over 400 people with about a 99% success rate. And believe me, I was the most surprised.
That's interesting, because I remember back in the early 80s, I guess it was, I had read Super Learning. The book was out then. I believe it was early 80s. And Suggestopedia, I think, was a rage at the time. And I told you I tried it out. I actually got a cassette player with a pillow speaker and created my own tapes with, you know, affirmations and, you know, Mozart playing in the background, this and that and the other. And I just remember I was just so, you know, it would come on in the middle of the night. I would keep hearing this click and then this light little stuff going on, and it just kept waking me up every night. And after a few weeks of that, I just got through. I was just like, I couldn't handle anymore. Now, to be honest with you, I don't know if any of the things, I don't know if any of the stuff on there came true, to be honest with you, or what happened. There's a few things that happened in my life at the time. I don't know if it happened because of that, but I'm sure it didn't hurt it. But at the same time, I think you sent me something recently, and I tried it out, and I told you, and I'd like you to explain what was going on here. I just couldn't use it. My wife didn't want to listen to it, and I was like, holy cow, we just can't even, it doesn't even sit at all. And I was wondering how that works and how you can overcome that.
Well, first, thanks for saying that. I want to respond to your not knowing whether or not it worked. That's the tricky thing working with this, because you go to sleep one person and you literally wake up a different person, and your brain doesn't make the connection between, gee, yesterday I didn't do that and today I do it, or yesterday I did that and today I don't do it. So what happens for most of my folks is it's their friends, their family, their partner, their kids who give them the feedback. For instance, I have a client right now, and she listened to Speak Up for Yourself, and her daughter said, and she called me and said, you know, I'm just not getting anything from this, and it's disturbing my sleep, and I get up 3 times in the middle of the night, and I just don't think this is working. And her daughter said to her, Mom, you have never been like this. And her daughter then began to tell her, who's 23, she's a college student, so she has adult experience with her mother, for want of better words, and began to tell her mother of all the changes she'd seen and the way she was talking and the things she was doing that were totally different. You know, the conscious brain doesn't track the unconscious. You work with that with your hidden decisions. I mean, that's the whole deal.
Exactly.
The conscious brain doesn't track the unconscious. That's the deal. So you can go in and change the unconscious. The person completely changes their lives, but the conscious doesn't track that. It's really dicey.
Yeah, I had a situation where I was working with someone recently who had a brain aneurysm 3 years ago, and he recovered. He survived. He almost died. But his memory was just gone. His short-term memory was just shot. And I had the chance to work with him finally and did some stuff, and we did a couple of sessions. He was like exclaiming, like, this is the most powerful thing I've ever heard, and, you know, felt, you know, and he felt like he was totally there again, and a whole lot of things happened. And then I called him a day or two later, and it's like, oh yeah, yeah, that was great. It says, really, I feel all here and stuff, you know. And but it felt so normal to him that he didn't, he wasn't able to comment.
Yeah, I have a similar one. I have another client who just got out of surgery. He had his neck had some, you know, problems in his neck. He had nerve damage all down his back because one of his legs was going numb and paralyzed and the whole thing. And I put him on Open to Healing. I saw him on Saturday, put him on Open to Healing, saw him the following Saturday, and said, do you have time to chat? And he said, Now, let me back up. When I gave him the CD, Open to Healing, he was saying to me, I'm 40 years old. I don't think I'm going to live to 50. I'm really sick. I know that I'm dying. I know that I'm not okay. I mean, he was totally dysfunctional.
Right.
I saw him the following Saturday. That's 1 week. And I said, do you have time to discuss this? He says, oh, gosh, I'm sorry. I don't have time right now. I'm right in the middle of a project. I'm hanging shelves in the garage. And I said, you must be feeling better. And he said, no. And I said, well, last week you weren't able to lift anything. He was off work on workers' comp. And I said, last week you weren't able to lift anything. And he said, oh, the shelves are light.
Yeah.
And he has no conscious understanding that his life just flipped like a pancake.
Yeah, I think it's important to lay the parameters out and educate people what they're, you know, just do a little, you know, a list.
If you're not
do a list before and after,
But if you're not doing the behaviors, if you're not looking for specific behavior changes, it's tough. And, of course, I suggest people just keep a real brief little journal for, 10 to 14 days, felt great, felt tired, did this, and they have that to look back on. But I encounter this absolutely consistently, Michael. So I know exactly what you're talking about. The conscious does not track the unconscious. Now, in terms of folks like you and your wife where you have a real negative response to it, it could be very simple. Mm-hmm. It could be the music. It could be that you have a very strong, powerfully developed protection system over your subconscious that says, I'm not listening to anybody's messages but mine.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing, which is sometimes common, I'm not saying this about you and your wife, but it is the person who really doesn't want to change and they will not listen. I have people that buy the series and they just will not listen, and that's their choice. But to me, it's kind of sad because I know those hidden decisions are saying, you just keep pretending that you're going to lose weight or, improve your life or save your money or not spend too much on your credit card or whatever. You just keep pretending that, but I'm the unconscious and I'm always going to win, and you're not going to change that.
Right. Yeah, I discovered, I don't know if you've come across this yourself, but I discovered that over time there was a certain way to access those decisions, and I found that, like you said, sometimes it just shuts down and it just won't listen to anything because it's based on a survival mode.
Yep.
It's based on something that's so elemental that, anything that attempts to tamper with it, particularly our conscious minds, which it considers to be the adult, intruder, just can't have access into that vault because it's just too sacred or too important for survival. And so it just locks it down. And I had a
very personal experience with that with my father. He was diagnosed with cancer for 18 years, so we certainly had a lot of time to get used to it. And the last year of his life, when I suggested he do some of this, and he just said, nope. And I said, Dad, what's up? And I gave him credit. He was so honest, and he was so in tune. He looked me straight in the face. He said, kid, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
And boy, I got it right then. There is not anything anybody is going to do to change that.
Right.
His was not a hidden decision. His was real.
He was conscious of it.
But my perception is when you've had that much, he was an older man, of course, which I call closer to spirit than matter. But also when you've had that much turmoil and stress and what he'd been through all these years with his surgeries and whatever, the alpha-theta bridge was developed, so he had access to his unconscious, and his unconscious had communication with his conscious, and they were both in alignment. He didn't have a hidden decision. He had a conscious and an unconscious partnership ongoing, and he died that year.
Right. Yeah, I've noticed that's if you have a conscious connection like that, it's just congruent, and it's not, like I said, if you want to die, there's nothing on earth or heaven that I can do about it. And
I like the word you just used, Michael, congruent. When the unconscious and the conscious is congruent, there is no stopping it.
Right. Exactly.
That's called standing.
Exactly. Right.
Everybody stand
now we have someone calling in.
Great.
Terry, if you hold on just one second.
Of course.
Hi, you're on the air, area code 404-202.
Hi, this is Bridget. How are you?
Well, hello, Bridget. You have a question for Terry?
Yeah, I do.
Or Dr. Mahaney, as I should say.
Oh, Terry.
I really like what you said, because under my book is Michael, and I have a big, big problem, like life and death. And
got,
then
hold on, Bridget, you got a little bit of an echo. Do you have two phones going?
Yep, hold on. Can you hear better now? Is it better?
A little bit. It's still a little echo. Go ahead.
Better now?
Yeah. Yes, better.
Like the Verizon person. So anyhow, when I work sometimes with Michael and I have this life and death thing going on, once we resolve it, I totally forget about it. The problem is gone. And so when Dr. Moody said the thing that the conscious mind will not remember, right? That makes perfect. I have never heard it before said so so clearly. But whenever I work on something and it's gone, it's really gone.
Right.
I don't remember the problem.
Yeah.
So that's really, really helpful that you point that out.
Yes, it's. I think there's good news and bad news in that, Bridget, but then I think there's good news and bad news in everything. The good news is, you know, if we just kept remembering all that stuff all of our lives, we'd have quite a burden. But the bad news is we don't get to really track our progress as human beings and how very dynamic we are and how very much we may transform in one lifetime. I mean, we're picking stuff up and putting it down all the time.
You're right, and I think from now on, if I work on something or I work with someone, I will write down how bad it is from 1 to 10, and once I'm done, I write. And that really has to be done, because otherwise, the conscious mind, mine or anyone's, won't get it.
Great. Well, good for you, and all the people you're working with are going to love you for this.
Well, I really got this from you sharing that, because I just forget, like everyone else, too. It's just the nature of the conscious mind, I think, to be like that.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you for calling.
Thanks for the question.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye. It's great. Yeah, I've noticed that there's a disconnect like that. I think in this day of YouTube, however, we're going to see increasingly people being in touch with their former selves. looking back on old videos and things.
Oh, Michael, I'm in touch with my former self every time I review a script. I'm doing some work right now to make some new videos, and I'm going back over scripts that I wrote and went, oh, how I would revise that today. Who was so wordy? I'm reading these going, couldn't I have gotten a little simpler with this stuff?
Right, right.
It's like, who made up that statement? Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it's constant.
Yeah.
It's constant.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, I look back on dream diaries that I used to have 15 years ago or something, you know, and the dramas that are going on during that time. So, yeah, it's anytime you keep a record of anything in your life, your chances are you're going to be reminded of it. So, one way or the other. Terry, go ahead and give people your website and so they can go there and check it out, see some of the products you have and what you've got to offer.
Oh, thanks, Michael. It's pretty simple. It's Change Your Mind. It's www.changeyourmind.com. And it's got all the research on there about brain states, and it's got lots and lots of questions and answers. I've tried to make it a real complete information site, because so much of this is new information for people. Hopefully people will get their questions. If nothing else, they will get their questions answered about their brains when they go on site.
Now, I know there was a I don't know if you're familiar with the book Stroke of Insight. Let's see, what was her name, Dr. She was a neuroscientist, and
I can't remember her name either. She was, that video was required viewing for my creative thinking and problem solving classes for years.
Right.
Because we did all the left brain, right brain stuff in those classes, and that was their required viewing. She was fabulous.
Uh-huh. I'll be able to tell you her name in just a minute. Dr. Jill or Joyce or something like that. I'm trying to remember her name. Hold on one second. I'll tell you here. Oops. Okay, got it. Yeah, she... I wrote her to see if she would come on my show, and she wrote me back pleasant thing. At the time, she was very, very busy. So, Jill Bolte Taylor, she's a PhD.
Yes.
And the fascinating thing about what she discovered, and this was something that I discovered when a book fell off the shelf in front of me about the Hawaiian kahunas, talking about the three cells. Of course, that's not about brain waves, but if you go back, I mean, they had a pretty good idea about what was going on thousands of years ago.
I love the Huna.
Yeah.
I've used it for years.
But but the biggest thing is that she discovered, and it's something she said in her book, they were like two different personalities, which matches exactly what the Huna talks about, the two cells within the body.
Mm-hmm.
And which, of course, she talks about right brain, left brain, which, can be understood in those terms as well. But the Huna talks about the right brain being more, or the low self, as they call it, being more the one who holds the memory, holds the feelings, the intuition, that types of things. And so it makes sense when you talk about the conscious mind not being able to remember what it was doing before, because the conscious mind doesn't have the memory. And if the low self, or the right brain, as we call it, doesn't tell it, then it doesn't get the idea, or it doesn't get the message. I just thought that was a fascinating aside.
I thought it was marvelous, as a predominantly left brain person operating in left brain all of her life, that this experience she had, she didn't read the book, she didn't read the research, and she lived it, of course, and it was her character is so incredible that she, quote, fought her way back from that. I cry every time I see it. It just touches me.
Right. She did a video, too, and I saw the video a while back where she was talking about it. She's quite potent. I mean, she's on stage. She's got a real presence about her.
Yep. As I said, I was required for all my creative thinking and problem-solving classes for the Department of Defense and Department of Interior and all the folks I've trained for, so I've seen it several times, needless to say.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I would just sit at the back of the class and cry every time I saw it.
Wow.
You know, the lights would go up, and I'd be sitting back there crying, and my students would say, "Have you never seen this before?" And I said, "Absolutely. I've seen it a dozen times." You know, that doesn't change the fact I still cry every time I see it. Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess once you reach into the depths of that soul, so to speak, in the depths of that subconscious being, and you really know how to tap that, then you do touch people's lives. And I guess that's really what most of us are looking for. Of course, we're not willing to go through strokes and go through the stuff that a lot of people have in order to get there. But
I prefer just going to sleep, Michael. I'm a little lazy, and for me, I can just go to sleep and do the same thing, and that's very much my preference.
Right.
They say when the going gets tough, the tough get going. No, when the going gets tough, I go to sleep. I do it that way.
When the tough gets going, then we go shopping or whatever.
When the top gets going, I go to sleep. I just super sleep. That's the way I do that.
That's great. Well, Terry, it's fascinating what you're doing. Now, what happened with your business? Now, you had an outdoor or adventure business at one time where you took people.
Oh, yeah, that was when I was young.
Things.
Oh, yeah, that was when I was young.
Okay.
The best job of my life was as an outdoor whitewater guide, actually. I had a company and, you know, sold it to Delta Airlines and outdoor travel and all that. And, of course, it was where I made the least money. I was living on about $500 a month. This was back in the 70s. So that was the most fun. And so, I define success a little differently than other people do. I don't define it as how much money I have in the bank. And as you mentioned earlier, of course, probably the job where I made the most money and where I've had the largest impact in a large way was working for the governor and running different divisions for them. And I'm happy to do it all. I've had 18 careers. I don't get attached to my careers. I'm very blessed that I've got that kind of sort of free spirit. It's easy for me to leave things behind and walk away from things. I don't get stuck easily. So I guess you'd say that's one of my hidden decisions, was that from very, very early on, I said nothing's going to hold me down or nothing's going to hold me back. You know, I probably heard the unsinkable Molly Brown song and somehow took it in as my own. And
really?
that was a decision I made very early on, that I wouldn't be controlled, I wouldn't by society or materialism or any of those things, and I would live the life I wanted to live. And I've pretty well been able to do that, and I consider that a huge success. Of course, in these economic times, my business is down like everybody else's, and I'm having the same kinds of, you know, opportunities to cut the budget back and all that. But I'm still doing what I want to do, and I'm still doing what I love. So I do consider that successful.
That's great. It sounds very much parallel to what my life is like, Terry. You know, I've been around the world, and I've done all these weird things. And, you know, been a classical guitarist, been a meditation teacher, and been a, you know, chiropractor, and, you know, you name it. But it's but sometimes the most, the things that you learn, earn the least on are the most rewarding.
Yeah.
And it's I found that certainly true. The experiences I've had, I wouldn't trade for anything. So. Well, it's fascinating. I'd love to learn more about some of your experiences and what you've been up to, because it sounds like you've lived quite a full life there already. Anything else you want to share with us about how you got to where you are and where you're heading next?
Boy, where I'm heading next, what an excellent question. I have a family that, you know, we don't die until we're like 96, 7, 8, 9. I've got a great-great-great-great-great-grandfather who lived over three centuries. He was born in 1798 and died in 1903. I mean, get a grip. So, I'm in what we call, Michael, my last trimester. But my last trimester means I've got about 35 years left.
Right.
And that's one of the fun things I've been playing with. Of course, Change Your Mind will always be central to my life. I think I shared this with you when we talked before. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I have never done drugs, probably more my age than my morality, but I haven't. And so I laughingly say I have an addiction of choice. I choose my addictions, and my addiction is miracles. And I'm very blessed to be in a business that I get to see those all the time. So I don't expect Change Your Mind to go away. I expect it to be a pretty central part of my life, you know, for at least the next 10, 15, 20 years. And I don't know what else I'll bring in. At the time, I'm raising a 9-year-old boy. I've had him for 4 years, who came with some significant opportunities, brain disorders, things like that. And he's just about normed. And I'm going to probably end up doing something with that kind of information to support parents who are working with these kids who are coming in with these different brains. We certainly have a higher percentage of different brains in our young people today than we've ever had in the history of this country. Different
wow.
people would have their theories about that, but I understand the last statistic I saw was 1 in 156 boys is now born with autism. That's astonishing. That's
what do you attribute that to?
Well, I don't like to do all those conspiracy theories, but I think part of it is sonograms during pregnancy. I mean, if a Navy ship off of the coast of Australia sending out sonogram waves can beach about 12 whales because they've lost all sense of direction, I would suggest that a sonogram wave could certainly potentially have a significant impact on a developing brain and fetus.
Wow. That's
true. It's huge. I mean,
huge.
You know, I just think so many of the things we're doing under the aegis of modern medicine are so very detrimental to the health of these young people. I don't think anybody's, you know, raised their hand and say, gee, I want to ruin the kids in America. Please don't misunderstand me. But I do think we're doing so many things that do not support the health of our young people. So there's a good chance I may, you know, pick up that banner next. I don't know. Well, I have
a
wonderful...
That's a very important...
It's an important
crusade. So.
Yeah, I have a CD called Live Your Spiritual Purpose, and so when I kind of sit down and have the time to take a new direction, I drop that on and listen to it and see what pops up for me, what little dog-like trail I'm going off on next. But I think parenting will probably be something I'd like to provide some more support for people for.
Great. Well, Terry, it's been fascinating listening to your story,
and
so glad I had you on the show. I appreciate you coming on, and I'd love to have you on again sometime soon. But at any rate, for those listening, her website where you can get more information is www.changeyourmind.com, and you can get a lot of great information there. Next week, our guest is Lee Goff, who is an internet marketing
SEO, Christian Optimization. We get to have you. Stay tuned. This is Michael Craig, Logical Soul Talk.
I am. Doesn't 30 minutes
okay,
go
the show is over, but we're still, we're not streaming anymore, but this is part of a podcast that after the show, we can sort of carry on a little light banter for a few minutes and before we hang
wonderful.
Up. And so it's still recorded. People can listen to the podcast later and get information from this part. But
okay.
Is there anything you wanted to add to what you said?
Oh, wow. What a hard one.
Well, that's my trick. See, when I don't know what to say, I throw it on the guest. See, that's
there you go. Well, I think this is what I would say. You know, Michael, you and I are the same kind of people. We've devoted our lives to this. We've spent our lives changing ourselves and then, you know, doing our best to share that with others. And I don't expect everyone to follow that path. That's a path you and I have followed. So the only thing I would say is for those who don't follow that path, at least find something that supports them in feeling like they are improving their lives. You know,
right.
Your work, my work, it doesn't matter. Just, you know, something that they feel is giving them a little bit of a leg up, because our whole culture in America has become so fear-based. I see so much fear out there. I see so much anger out there. I see so much difficulty and so much stress out there now. And people who don't have the kind of approach to life you and I have and don't have coping techniques, I see it's really hitting them hard. I just see it across the board.
Right.
And, you know, I would just suggest people find something, just whatever
right.
it is, make a non-hidden decision, make a conscious decision that you're going to find something that you're going to keep your life in balance.
Yep. Yep. I remember going through life and, you know, even during the hardest times, and there's been quite a few of them, there was always a sense that, you know, I didn't lose my direction. There was
right.
always a direction to go in, even when it was really, really tough.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess most people have something like that if they just tune in to listen to it.
Mm-hmm. And even when I have felt directionless, obviously, with all these career changes, 18 careers, I've had a lot of times I was directionless and broke. And even in those times when I didn't know where I was going, I always had faith at some deep, deep level that it was okay. I was still going to go and I was going to end up in the right place.
Mm.
You know, that if I made any jog off the path, it was just going to be temporary. That I never felt like I was going to end up badly or poorly or not doing well. I really was extremely blessed to have those messages in my subconscious that I was going to make it, and that was important to me. But I know a lot of people don't, and if they don't,
right.
it's really easy to go down.
Right. I think you're right. Well, listen, I'm coming to San Francisco in December. I'll be there with Darren Jacklin, you know him.
I do.
He'll be there at the Love and Money Summit. I'll be there at the Love and Money Summit from December the 9th through the actually, I'll probably stay in, I think it ends on the 12th, but I'll be staying there until the 14th and then coming back to Atlanta. So I was going to say, if you're in the area, I don't know, you're in Carlsbad, California, is that correct?
I'm down in the southern part. I'm down in San Diego.
You're way down yonder.
I am. And just
oh,
about
you're
the
way
time,
down there. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're way
and,
down.
And just about
Mexico
the time you're
way.
There, I'm headed to Cancun to go hang out at the Mayan ruins and relax.
You're going south, even further south. I got it.
I'm
going
to be further south away from you. What's the Love and Money
yeah.
Summit? What's that
called? Love and Money Summit. It's Dr. Brenda Wade, author and psychologist. She's put that together. Her goal is to cut the American divorce rate in half.
Great.
So she's just sort of putting that together. It's kind of interesting. Love and Money Summit.com, I believe you can get more information on it. But as I said, Darren will be speaking there. I'm going to be presenting something. And so it should be an interesting conference.
Oh, I should send her a copy of my Loving Partnership series, which is exactly for that, for couples to get their issues resolved in peaceful ways.
Yeah. As I said, go on the website and or you can contact Darren, and he'll have more information on it.
Great.
Well, Terry, thank you again so much, and best of luck to you here. And
oh, thanks, and I feel honored being included when you did that intro on the kinds of people you had on the radio show. I went, whoa, I'm in pretty heady company here.
Yeah.
So thanks so much, and you keep up the good work, too.
Well, thank you, Terry, and I look forward to meeting you someday.
We'll look forward to it.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.